Yes, it's that time of the week where we talk all things travel, and we've got Barry Warwick here today. Hi, Barry.
Hi, Amanda.
And it's good to see you. You've just come back from, about a month's holiday?
I have, yeah. All of March I was overseas and missed out on some of the fun.
So living the life of luxury.
Exactly.
Exactly. So are we going to talk about that today?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought I'd run through some of the experiences that I had and just perhaps some tips on sightseeing.
Okay. So any particular countries we're going to focus on?
Mainly Argentina and Antarctica. So and South Georgia Islands, which are great for wildlife.
Okay.
Look, Argentina's a really great country. I guess it's best known for, or one of the reasons that it's known is for Evita, the Iguazu Falls. It used to be a country that was as rich as Australia, basically competed with Australia on a number of fronts. But then through bad government, it suffered a lot of inflation. So it's got some beautiful old buildings. They're just absolutely amazing. And it's known as the Paris of the Southern Hemisphere, but these buildings are something to really look at. It's also got areas that are very colourful. It had a lot of Italian immigrants come through at one stage into the port area, and those buildings are multicoloured. So you've got blues and yellows and you name it.
It's beautiful.
The colours there, yeah. So it's an interesting city. It's very multicultural, similar to Australia in that it's had a lot of immigrants come into it. The language is Spanish. English is, you can get by.
But it helps to have Google Translator.
It helps to have Google Translator. And I did get into a cab, and the cab driver was actually quite a character, but the way we communicated was on Google Translate. You know, he'd say something to me and then I'd say something back. The passengers in the back, because I was travelling with my wife and sister and brother-in-law, they missed out on the conversation, but it was a nice conversation. Little bit hairy in that we were driving in traffic, and the road rules there tend to be a little bit different.
Right. Is it a bit like Italy where it's just a free-for-all?
Pretty much so.
Okay.
the driving down the centre of the line that divides the two lanes does get a bit concerning some passengers.
That sounds like Bali.
Yes.
Okay. So apart from the traffic, what else?
Apart from the traffic and the beautiful buildings, obviously it's the home of the tango. So there's a number of tango shows, dinner shows that you can go to, and it's well worth going to see one of those just to see how they do the tango. And the one that we saw actually told the story of Argentina. So, a story in dance, it's an interesting concept. So,
okay. And what about the waterfalls?
The waterfalls, look, Iguazu are the largest waterfalls in the world. And I thought that they would be spectacular, and it went beyond my thoughts. And there's an area called the Devil's Throat where the water seems to, or where it is concentrated. And the amount of water going out over there is just mind-boggling. So there's two sides to the falls, obviously. One of them is in Argentina and the other is in Brazil. So we actually stayed in Brazil, and to get into Brazil, you do need a visa now. It's valid for 5 years and you can stop 90 days in any 1 year. But, and you do need, just a warning there is that you do need to have the paper. it on paper or on your phone when you actually do the check through to go from one side to the other. Argentina doesn't require any visa, so that's a great place to visit. And the Argentinian side has more of the falls, and the Brazilian side, you can sort of look more onto the falls. But you should do a boat ride, do that from the Argentinian side, not the Brazilian side.
Do they go like close to the falls, like Niagara?
Not as close as Niagara. And unfortunately, because I've got hearing aids, I wasn't allowed to do it from the Argentinian side. So I did the Brazilian side, but it was from that experience that I realised that the Argentinian is the better side to do it from. Because part of the falls is in Argentina, where you can go up one side of the an island, they get to see a little bit more. And the photos that my brother and sister-in-law took were definitely far better than the experience that we had.
Right, okay. Sounds amazing. We'll continue talking about that.
Yeah. Well, we might move on to Antarctica.
Okay, Antarctica.
On the way.
This is Talking Travel, and we're going from somewhere hot, Argentina, to somewhere a bit cooler, Antarctica.
That's right. So from the falls, we flew back down into Buenos Aires, and then as part of the cruise that we were doing, we were taken from Buenos Aires down to Ushuaia. So we flew down to Ushuaia. They provided a lunch, which was the South American barbecue. So it was a lamb barbecue. The lamb's done on special frames that surround a fire. And it was the most tender lamb I think I've ever eaten. It was beautiful.
Wow.
And then we boarded the ship around about 4 o'clock, and then we set off for Antarctica. And we got a good crossing. Yeah, only about 1 meter waves, you know. So
that's not too bad.
No, it was excellent. I didn't even get a qualm of seasickness, but once we got to the tip of Antarctica, we actually got there early, so we were able to go ashore. So I was on an expedition ship. Normally the ship can take 260 people, but to do an expedition in Antarctica, the vessel can only take 200. We were on this particular cruise, there were 117 passengers and 147 crews, so we probably got spoilt somewhat as well. Half the passengers were French-speaking and half were English, so any of the lectures that were done in the English-speaking would have their time, the French-speaking would have their time, so it wasn't like it was multilingual all the time. And the captain would make an announcement, obviously, in French first, and then the next bit would be in English, but he was also very visible on the ship, which was quite a nice thing. And you could go up to the bridge any time that you wanted to. There were a couple of, there was one Australian that was in the offices. Obviously he was he'd have to speak French so that it all worked, but. In Antarctica, there's different penguins in different areas. So on the peninsula, we saw mainly Gentoo penguins and chinstrap penguins. And at one stage when we were out in the Zodiacs, because you went ashore and you actually walked to the penguin colonies, and the chinstrap have what looks like a chin strap underneath their chin, obviously for the name. And the Gentoo are a smaller, sort of a smaller penguin, but much larger than our fairy penguins. So
how many penguins are we talking?
Well, in this particular area, The colonies weren't all that big. They, you know, there'd probably be about 5,000 to 10,000. But later on, when we went to the South Georgia Islands out there, we came across colonies of king penguins, and there were 250,000
wow.
breeding pair on this what seemed to be a really, really small beach. So,
be like you're in the middle of the movie Happy Feet.
it certainly did. And you walked ashore, and they always made sure that you stuck within certain guidelines. You had to follow flags. You weren't allowed to go outside certain parameters so that you weren't actually interfering with the wildlife. But the penguins would sometimes come up and sort of check you out, make sure that you were or what you were, or they didn't know what you were. So it was just a really nice experience. And there were a lot of fur seals as well. And it was interesting just to see how the penguins and the fur seals interacted with each other. And also in South Georgia, there were some elephant seals. And again, there were all these penguins on the beach and just the elephant seals just sort of wandering in amongst them, and they didn't seem to bother each other.
What about from a historical perspective? You were just talking about off air the things that you learnt.
Yes, well, South Georgia is where Shackleton is buried, and he's one of the most famous explorers of the Antarctic, and his ship was actually
It got stuck in the ice, didn't it?
It got stuck in the ice, and they lived in the ship for quite a while, and then when the ice started breaking up, it actually cracked the ship, and the ship sank, and so we were lucky enough to go to the island where they eventually camped. They initially camped on ice, and then they camped on the island. But Shackleton and a couple of his men made their way over, I can't remember the exact mileage, but to South Georgia, and that's a long way in a small lifeboat. And he rescue his men. And he arrived on one side of South Georgia, but the whaling station is on the other side, and there's these mountains that are higher than Kosciuszko. While it was only 20 or 30 miles across, he traversed that and rescued his men. And the interesting thing was that in Shackleton, in his time, officers were officers, and they didn't sort of ever mix with the lower crew members. He made sure that he had everyone together, and that's why they think that it all worked and it survived. And his style of management is still studied today.
Oh, it's a fascinating story. There's actually a kind of like a movie, I think, or two-part movie series with Kenneth Branagh. Definitely worth checking out.
I'll have to have a look at it now that I've got the background on the lectures. And that's one of the good things about expedition ships. You get background of not only the wildlife, but also other people, you know, explorers. And we had one of the expedition members that was a mad geologist, he was... Geology was his thing. So you got these lessons on the geology, how things were made or how things ended up being where they were. And it was a fascinating experience.
That sounds like I'm jealous.
Yeah.
So when you are FM on air, online and on your smartphone, this is Talking Travel, and we are talking hot deals.
We are. And look, I just thought that I'd stick to mainly cruising this week for the hot deals and things that are a little bit different. So in South Africa or Southern Africa, I should say, because it goes into Zimbabwe, there's a riverboat that you can do. It has about 10 nights of sightseeing. And so you get to visit or see a lot of wildlife in different areas on Lake Carib. So it's just really a different way. There's only 16 people, so it's a little bit exclusive, and it wins awards all the time. So
who's that with?
It's actually with Crozy or Cruzy, which is a French company again, but we can always it's got a 15% off for 2027. So that's only up until the 30th of April, so it might be worthwhile if you're interested looking at that. Then there's another one, which is a small vessel which goes around the Indonesian islands, and it goes to the Fairview National Park. So it's not, you're not in any of the major centres. You do pick it up from Bali and cruise out from there. It's got good savings. Again, it varies a little bit depending on the cabin type, but it starts off at under $10,000 for a really interesting cruise. And again, it's an expedition cruising, so you go across, go on shore in Zodiacs. So that's well worth going or seeing, and it's to the 30th of April as well. And I know that Sally's mentioned this one before, but the Paul Gauguin doing Tahiti, now it also does other areas of the South Pacific. It's a specially built ship with shallow draft so that it can get into shallower waters. They've got some specials on at the moment as well for the 12th of November. So, you know, a special, a specified date. And then there's a few Croatian cruises available that have substantial discounts at the moment. Now, the only trick is getting into Croatia from Australia, but there's still a few cabins left at the sale price. So if you have any inquiries, just contact your travel agent and just check these different Croatian cruises. They leave from either Dubrovnik or Split. So two beautiful cities to check it out.
Wonderful. Well, that's all for our hot deals today.
That's all for our hot deals today.
Thank you very much, Barry, and we'll catch up with you next week for Talking Travel.
Okay. Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you. To a new RFM.